You're listening to the Sci-Fidelity Podcast, Episode 63, Spoilerific, Star Trek Into Darkness. The Sci-Fidelity Podcast contains adult language and themes and is intended for a mature audience. Which is good, because we're about to thoroughly discuss RoboCop and multiple Spocks regularly taking a shit all over the Prime Directive. I actually wonder how many times that has been screamed out after somebody has ejaculated.
You do wonder that?
Oh, ski.
Not very many times with a repeat performance, I'll tell you that right now. Hell, because I have been informed personally that yelling, is the way to curtail any future sexual encounters.
Is a relationship ender.
So what you're saying is it's an effective way to not get that phone call again.
Yeah. Yes. If you want to break up with someone, but you don't know quite how, fuck them. And then scream at ski at the end of it.
Or if
your problems are solved.
If you, for some reason, have a need to dry up a pussy, skeet is the that's like the magical incantation to make that happen. Like, hey baby, how you doing? Skeet. Oh, hey, wow, it's like the Sahara down here. All right, well, my work here is done.
It's like you see your daughters about to go with Quagmire, and you just go, all right, baby, oh, skeet.
Do you think that would stop Quagmire?
He's probably into that.
No, Quagmire probably has, you know,
I'm prepared for this scenario.
Some supplemental,
Giggity.
Yes, exactly. He probably his wall opens up and it's just a wall of lube. The industrial strength, it's like it's in a super soaker. He has like super soakers on the wall. They just pulls out, just like, yeah, no, this was, don't worry about it.
Wow. I
just cracked myself up.
I don't know what to say now.
I don't know what to say other than welcome to the Sci-Fidelity Podcast.
Exactly. Don't give me that, I don't know what to say. This is it's like the last time with your fucking, Elysium segue and then calling me out because I called out your segue. Whatever.
Actually, I had a comment on that. I had a comment on the episode that I missed. First off, I'm point out that Brian's not here, which sucks because I had a comment for him too.
Well, if we're going to do that, we should point out that you're Michael.
Yes, I'm Michael.
You're Patrick.
Yeah, and you are Steve.
I certainly am.
You are Steve.
And Brian is not here.
No, we tried something new, right? Yeah. This is innovation, all right? This is what we're looking for
innovation.
In our nation right now. And, so Brian's not here, and I think it's very important to address the elephant in the room. The rumors that Michael and Brian can't stand to be in the same room with each other. And the rumors are true. The two of them, they're quite professional when we can get them together, but otherwise they're like Sarah Jessica Parker and Kim Cattrall off of Sex and the City. Those bitches can't stand each other. So if you want all four of us together,
you're going to have to pay for a studio, large studio with separate recording booths.
It's negotiable. If you want otherwise, all four of us together, as long as nobody's filming it, I'm down.
Otherwise, I am going to cut the... Wow.
I am not down with that, all right?
Everything's negotiable.
Oh, it's a circle jerk.
We had that $100 talk a minute ago. I think for the price.
I'm just saying if I have to be in the same room with
that
Brian
again... That
jizz
was dried. Sorry. So go ahead.
I'm just saying if I got to be in the same room with Brian again, I might cut that Alaskan motherfucker.
Now, why do you have to go and say something like that in the show?
Okay.
Because you know he's going to hear it. Are we going to have a next epic rap battle between the two of you?
Epic rap battles of history!
Because you know he's going to go Doctor Who, and I'm not sure where you're going to go.
I go Doc Brown.
All right. Okay. So,
I had a couple of comments.
Okay. One second. And also, in all seriousness, Brian is feeling under the weather, and he was gracious enough to not infect the rest of us, partly because his high moral caliber, and partly because if he did so, I would beat him to death. So
a lot of threats at Brian today.
Well, you know, I don't like getting sick. So you know, thanks to him for not coming in, not dragging himself in, and we hope he gets better. But
that being said,
we're just going to have to keep on. By now you've heard the title of the episode. You know what we're going to talk about, and you might be saying to yourself,
"Oh wait,
is that your thing?"
Well, no, I was going to say I had a couple of corrections I had to. One of the podcasts that I wasn't at. There was a couple of statements made by each one of y'all that I had to jump in on. One, I'm going to start with Patrick. Eggplant Wizard is from Kid Icarus.
You know what?
Not Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
I will point out that if you look at the visual reference for that episode, mm-hmm. I call myself out, because right. I was the one that wrote it, and say, you know, Patrick mistakenly called it. So I caught it like all the right. second I said it, but it just didn't get recorded. So
I'm just saying.
No, but good catch. Good catch.
It shows that I listened.
Yeah, it did show that you listened. As I was typing, I was like, God, I'm a fucking asshole. How did I get that wrong?
To Steve.
Yeah.
One instance is more than enough when it's a goddamn Balrog. I think that's all you got. I think that's all you fucking need, really.
Well,
I'm good with that.
Disagree. It's fine.
And Brian's not here, but the correction that I had for Brian was Winnie the Pooh has never skull fucked a beehive. I just want that pointed out. And I'm not just saying that because if my girlfriend heard it, she would lose her shit. I'm saying that because Winnie the Pooh has never skull fucked a beehive.
I do believe what Brian was saying was that the expert in bees was Winnie the Pooh. Not that he had ever skull fucked one, I don't think.
You know, hives don't really have skulls per se.
It's a symbolic fucking of the...
Yeah. There's a way that you can fuck that's always skull fucking. It doesn't have to be a skull. But if you're fucking someone in that way, you're skull fucking them.
Skull is now a descriptor rather than...
Well, it's really a function of where your hands are and how aggressively you're pulling them. Whatever it is.
It's an aggression level.
You know what's really disturbing about that?
What?
Is the amount of visualization that you've both applied...
I am somewhat of an expert in skull fucking, so you know, I mean, you don't just
you know, I don't intend to voir dire and determine your expertise. We'll just take it on face value.
Well, yeah. That's the best thing about this claim. It's really hard and awkward for you to verify it. So, you know.
You can get called as an expert witness as a skull fucker. So you are an expert witness of skull fucking. Yes. Yeah, I'm not gonna ask you how that works. It's best for all that you don't.
Like there's no official accreditation for being a skull fuck expert. So, you know, you'd have to go over all of your experiences in the skull fucking field in a practical nature. And they don't want to hear that.
No, and we're going to go ahead and move on.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was actually going to say, so that introduction you were doing that I completely interrupted.
No, it's perfectly fine. Because, you know, it's not like we talk about this beforehand. No, this is just off the cuff. So that's perfectly fine. So, so you've seen the intro, or not seen the intro, you've heard the title, you haven't seen shit, it's not a video podcast, so you've heard the title, you know what we're going to talk about, and you might be saying to yourself, hey, didn't that movie come out in like March? Shut the fuck up.
Did it come out in March? I think it was a summer movie.
No, it was early. Yeah. It's been half a year.
Yeah, because it's out already. Yeah.
And the reason that we're only getting to it now is... because of, you know, we all watched it, we all had things to say about it, so we were all going to wait till we were all coming together to discuss it. But then, you know, Brian was in Alaska, and then Brian was sick, and then, you know, Michael was out, and now Brian's out again, and then, you know, we missed a week because Steve was sick.
That's
true. So one, y'all was a bunch of sick motherfuckers, and then two... since it's been 6 months.
I'm sorry, Mr. Super Immune System.
Hey. Delivery man came to the house and said, don't you got AIDS? I said, no, keep walking. And I was like, cool. So.
I like how we're not even bothered to explain the story on that one.
I don't think you need to. I don't think that's required.
The point is, you don't have the AIDS.
I don't.
And the guy can keep on moving.
And pretty much, which is a takeaway. So basically, yeah, it's been like half a year since we've had all four of us together, in
it's
the room.
It's been a minute.
And this week I just said, fuck it. And I'm pulling the rest of them in with me. With the whole, fuck it, we're talking about it. It's been half a year. The How It Should Have Ended has already come out. So
the DVD, the yeah, Blu-ray.
The Blu-ray is
the
out.
Special edition
yeah,
is so, all out. If you haven't seen this movie yet.
Patrick is employing the fucking clause in his contract.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. If we're going to talk about this, then it happens now or it doesn't happen. Fuck it, I don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah.
I have planned my life around talking about Star Trek Into Darkness for too many months now. Too many fucking months. I can't take it.
And so with the release of this podcast, Patrick is symbolically releasing.
Yeah, he's been waiting to exhale.
That is so choice.
Everyone falls.
Yeah, there's anyway. Whitney Houston still here just waiting to happen. Or so. My brain went to the Mary J. Blige, so yeah.
Or a driveway filled with a car on fire, but you know, either or, it's fine.
So where do we want to start? There's the opening scenes. Why don't we go through the movie chronologically?
Good.
So we can talk about it.
I
like piece by piece.
So you want to start with the opening where they apparently had never even heard of
the Prime Directive.
The Prime Directive. Yeah.
So in that. Just to refresh everyone's memory, they're in this white treed forest with all these red leaves, and there's these guys who apparently pray to some scroll, and in order to get them to move away from the volcano that's going to tear apart their whole world,
right?
He snatches the scroll and is running away with it, so they'll chase him, thus moving away from the volcano.
Your Bible is a lie.
Okay, so here's a question. Now, you said that's going to destroy their whole world, right?
That's apparently what they say is this
volcano.
That was
definitely the impression they gave.
Is going to destroy their whole world.
So what's the value of getting them to leave one part of the planet when the rest of the planet's getting fucked?
Because.
Well, I don't think that was the real issue to get them to move away.
Because they're going to set off some device in the volcano disrupting its explosion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, their whole reasoning to get the tribe to move away was so that they could move in and do something to the volcano without being seen.
No, that's not exactly right, because they were sent there to observe.
Yeah. Well, no, I agree. That's why I said they're pissing on the Prime Directive, because they were only sent there to observe.
Right. So the chain of events that we weren't shown, but we know it occurred was, first they got there and said, holy shit. Volcano explosion time.
Mm-hmm.
Then they decided, well, what Spock's going to do is get in a chrome or a bronze dive suit, jump in the volcano hanging off of a shuttlecraft, and set off some device interrupting volcano.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say this. Character-wise, I can understand why Spock would want to do that. Because they do actually explain that in the movie, why he wants to do that. He saw his world being destroyed. So there's this part of his brain. But supposedly his whole character, you know, Mr. I Defy Emotion, and the Prime Directive would stand in the way of him doing that.
Well, the one thing I like is they say, hey, did you go and steal the scroll? Because you weren't supposed to do that. That's interfering with the Prime Directive. As if... You know, what preventing their whole civilization from being destroyed is not interfering with the or disregarding the Prime Directive. So that whole little chain of argument there, that whole thing just falls fucking apart.
Well, but that was sort of the point, was to create a scene where they shit all over the Prime Directive.
Was that the point?
Yes.
Because I did not get that.
Because then when they get back to Starfleet, Pike is like, you assholes. Your report says this happened, and then Spock's report is like, now, here's where we fucked up. I got 6 points where we did not follow the prime directive.
6 point clause.
That's right.
Oh, well, are we jumping ahead?
We're not.
Okay,
so,
all right.
So we're at the prime directive scene.
Yes, okay.
So they run out, and Kirk puts up the scroll, and what happens when all of the locals get to the scroll? Here's our scroll, and they stop. And they jump into the water, dive off the cliff, and jump into the water where the Enterprise is hiding in the coastal waters.
I think you just broke Patrick.
I'm trying to contain all the hatred and rage, and it's difficult.
Meanwhile,
he was Super Saiyan.
Our bronze-laden Spock is chilling out in and hanging off the bottom of this
shuttlecraft
whose intake is rather a lot like a jet engine and sucking in ash and volcanic debris and starts to go pear-shaped.
Yeah.
Well, they decide they're going to pull him out. The line breaks, and he plummets miraculously onto a cool surface in the bottom of a active volcano and drops his wonder kit that we don't really aren't sure what it is, but whatever.
You mean his cold fusion bomb?
His
cold fusion bomb.
Whatever.
Because that's what cold fusion is.
That's exactly what it is. A bomb cold happen.
That makes cold happen,
okay.
Easy
all
now.
Right.
Breathe.
All right.
I just want to point out
you wrote that
I don't have a physics degree, and even my brain went, the fuck?
So
that's not what cold fusion is.
So
shall we explain to the people what cold fusion is, just so they're not like, well, I don't understand what you're talking about.
No, that's what Wikipedia would be doing if he was here.
Wikipedia can answer for you what cold fusion
I
actually
can do it
does.
In like a minute. Not even a minute.
We got a whole movie to get through. Fine, go ahead.
15 seconds.
Go ahead. Go.
Fusion is really fucking hot. It's like 8,000 degrees. But cold fusion is you can do it at room temperature. That's all. It doesn't take heat out of anything.
But Star Trek tells me it makes things cold.
Oh, God.
Right?
So then our two heroes are swimming.
I like the air quotes on the heroes part.
Yeah. They're swimming up to the ship, the Enterprise, and pass through the water/airlock.
Uh-huh.
And they learn
that... Because it was totally designed to do that.
It totally was. Uh-huh. Which is why Scotty comes up and says, you dick faces, I'm paraphrasing, have parked my ship in salt water. Fuck you guys.
Now, I think they may have the Enterprise confused with Moya. I think that was the confusion.
It may have been that.
Yes.
That may have been where they fucked up along the way many times.
Or Sequest, maybe.
Perhaps. Let's not judge.
Yeah. I'm judging.
I'm saying that just to be polite, but we're being extremely judgmental.
Judge the shit out of that motherfucker.
Yeah. Okay. That's
Judge Dredd that shit.
That's some shit. All right.
So then they discovered that old Spock's mission has gone awry. And they need to go rescue him. Oh, but wait. The villagers didn't see the little shuttlecraft stinking into the volcano, but they're damn sure going to see a giant starship rise out of the ocean hundreds of yards away from them.
That they ran towards.
Yes. Well.
Okay. So, now I've said this myself, and I'm not going to be a hypocrite. When the movie provides certain things, like they're saying, okay, this is the premise, so you can't use that as ammunition to shit on them, because they basically stated, okay, these are the assumptions that we're making. So one of the assumptions is that the Enterprise can submerge itself, and while that makes no sense to anybody that's with a brain that's ever watched the original timeline, but you know, whatever, it's a new timeline, and maybe they decided for some fucking reason to do that.
It's the same Enterprise that they can build on a planet.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm not going to criticize that. What I will criticize, however, is it seems that the reason they landed the Enterprise in the ocean was so that they could observe without being seen. And I have to call bullshit on that. You know, if you don't want to be seen by the indigenous population,
you know
what a good place to hide is?
Space.
Fucking orbit, all right?
Especially if you have a starship.
And I mean, fuck! I mean, geosynchronous orbit is tens of thousands of miles above the surface. They're not going to look up and go, oh, hey, look, it's a starship. No, that's not going to happen. We have sensors that could see into different star systems. We have transporters to beam us to God knows wherever. And if you need to get closer to use the transporter, you can fly your shuttlecraft in, you know, puff some clouds around it or some shit. It's been done before, but why would you land it in the ocean so that you then have to spend 2 minutes lifting it out of the ocean to let all the water come off? That didn't make any sense.
When I was watching the movie, and I just wanted to point this out, that a lot of this can be, you know, you go, oh, this is hindsight is 2020. You can say this because you've already seen the movie.
Well,
hold on. Yeah. When I was watching the movie, my brain went, okay, what's your exit strategy in putting the goddamn Enterprise? Because how is that not going to be seen?
Well, they did that specifically so we would get to see a grand introduction of the Enterprise mm-hmm. with all the water and the mist and the...
Right. Don't forget the musical fanfare.
Uh-huh.
I'm watching this movie going, and I just want to point out, I had some problems. I did like the movie, one of which being it wasn't Star Trek. But... Yeah, when I'm watching that scene, I went, well, that's just bullshit. There's no defense of this scene. This scene is ridiculous.
Yes.
There is nothing that can defend this scene.
Right.
Nothing in the scene is good.
Yes. Somebody sat there and said, you know what would be cool? Blah. And then somebody else said, put it in the fucking movie. And then a third person said, well, how are you going to work that in so it fits with the, you know, Star Trek and the mythos? And the fourth person said, fuck you. What the hell is wrong with you?
Yes.
I am J.J. Abrams.
The key to that is person number four. The person that says, fuck you, is essentially wrong.
I'm just going to say this.
Wrong.
I completely agree with everything that you just said, but I don't think it actually sounded like that, because those people sounded way too human. I'm guessing that it was actually simians, some sort of monkey, that were actually having their...
Look,
those were the people that had that conversation.
I think you're thinking a little too hard about this. You think too much. No one's ever accused me of doing that.
Well, yeah. There's probably a bunch of fecal matter in that discussion that I didn't include, but, you know, it's fine.
That was being flung.
Yeah.
Maybe they got blinded by dollar signs. It could be that. That happens to people.
I don't know.
One more important event occurs in that opening scene, and that's when Spock realizes, you know what? I'm fucked. And he prepares himself to die. Mm-hmm. He's like, okay, well, I could cry like a bitch and ask for my mama, but she did.
After a healthy level of shoplifting.
He's on his knees and he realizes, by the time this thing goes off, I'm a dead man anyway. My cold fusion bomb.
After his cold fusion bomb makes everything cold?
They're not gonna get me out of here in time, because the prime directive, they can't come get me. My comms are lost. And he gets beamed out anyway. Uh-huh. By the time he gets to the ship, he's like, you assholes.
Mm-hmm.
I was busy breaking the prime directive, and you broke the prime directive to save my life. Fuck you guys.
Which makes me wonder, why didn't we just beam the shit down in there in the first fucking place?
Because someone had to turn it on. You wouldn't want to turn it on and then beam it. Any sort of technical excuse you can think of is also why they had to park the ship in the ocean.
Okay, well, how about this? Why don't we turn the shit on and then lower it on a cable and put it in the fucking volcano and then do that?
How about we turn it on?
I can't help you there. Because clearly it's fucked up.
And drop it into the damn thing.
Hang out the window of the shuttlecraft.
Hey, this shit worked at Sharknado.
Hanging the shit out like a scrub. Just like, you know what? Whatever. Just park it right here. Just drop it.
And I'm going to be clear here. I don't think this movie had any aspirations to being more scientifically accurate than Sharknado.
Well, when we get to the end sequence, you will prove yourself to be 100% correct, sir.
So, the next thing we have is the London montage.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Where we see
Mickey from Doctor Who.
Yes.
And his kid is sick and everything. But we don't get a whole lot of resolution to that. The next thing that occurs is we get a meeting with Pike.
Well, okay. Yeah.
Right?
Well, all I'm going to say is Mickey's kid is sick, and then he goes and he talks to the other. This guy comes out.
That was after.
Was that after? Yeah. All right. Well, you've got the chronology. I do. So, okay. We'll leave it to
you. So, we had a meeting with Pike, and Pike is like, prime directive, you assholes. Spock's report has got the truth in it. Kirk lies, and he chews him out and takes away the ship, right?
Smartest idea in this whole movie.
Yes.
Well, he didn't take it away. He just makes him first officer again, right?
He makes him first officer because he intervenes. He was going to go back to the academy.
Yeah. Which anyway. He should have done, because I don't think that asshole graduated, but whatever, it's fine.
Technically speaking, I don't think he did either.
Yeah.
So, hold up. He made him first officer. Who was going to be captain? Was Spock going to be captain?
No, Pike.
Pike was going to be captain.
Pike was going to take his ship back. He's like, I gave you my ship like it was his. Like, oh, well, you know, it's my car. You can drive it.
It's a pirate ship.
You fucked that up. So, yeah, he's just drug prior.
It's only the flagship.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they don't care. The next thing that occurs is the super blood. We get to see the super blood get traded to the guy with the sick kid.
Yeah.
And sure enough, as soon as he gives the super blood mixed in with the mystery clear fluid, probably saline, it goes into the kid
and jism.
The big wall of numbers and stats starts changing.
Oh, yeah,
science medicine occurs.
It's almost like that was going to be important later.
It's almost like it was.
Okay, so
and he gets a ring in exchange with this blood, and
it was one ring.
So before that, right? Mickey's there. He says, "Oh, why can't you help my kid?" And like, "Oh, we can't do anything. We don't know." And then all of a sudden, this guy comes up and says, oh, "I could help you with this." And, right. And as I'm watching this movie, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, "There is no way this is not the devil." I mean, I have seen movies, and when somebody comes up with that voice, that is the voice of doom. You do not, I get it. His kid is sick and all.
Yes.
But don't think, it's very obvious
you're making a deal with the devil.
Yeah. That something fucked up is happening here and, you know.
And why wouldn't he question, what do you mean if I give your blood to my kid? Well, maybe he didn't know. He says, look, this is just magic serum
that will fix you.
It's fix AIDS your kid.
You know what? Your kid's taking too long to die. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give him some hepatitis in my blood, and that'll just speed it up. And I'll be helping you, because then, you know.
But how did you put it? I'm re-cancering your kid.
Yeah. You didn't pay. You're not on Elysium. Here's your cancer. All right.
Open so then, wide. Here's a tumor. Put it back in your mouth. There you go.
We're serving up tumor salad. The next thing that occurs is... he gets his second chance. He finds out that he's going to be the first officer, and he gets dressed down. He says, you done fucked up.
Right.
And he dresses him down and says, you don't respect the chair. That speech.
Yeah.
And then there's the emergency meeting. We see the explosion in London, and we see the ring dissolve and the whole thing.
Mickey sacrificed himself as a trade-off for his kid getting better.
That's right.
He killed, 100 other people, so really that's a fair balance.
How do you think the doctor feels about that?
Probably really disappointed.
This movie is already connected with Doctor Who and Lord of the Rings. Yeah. So you had the one ring and the doctor.
So there's the emergency meeting. And right at the critical moments before the ambush occurs, Kirk figures out, hey, if this is part of a larger attack, someone could figure out that we're all mandated to do this thing that we're doing now right here. And there's an ambush.
There is an ambush.
And now,
then
Khan makes his escape.
Oh, wow. Hang on. Who
made his escape? Who?
What's his face?
Cumberbatch?
Cumbermouth.
That's not Khan.
it's called spoilerific. That's what happened. No, so here's my thing, right? So we're all going to come together at this meeting and all, and this is this. And regardless, whether this is protocol or not, Now, something just blew up, something big on Earth, and it was a Starfleet facility, big bomb, shit doesn't happen. You would think, perhaps, just perhaps, we would be on some sort of heightened tactical alert where we would have, you know,
well, you would think
somebody watching the radar screen and going, hey, there's shit flying around that shouldn't be flying around.
Red alert. Hold up. Shields up.
They felt extra safe because the third crossover had come in. RoboCop was there.
See, right now, the fact that you're defending this movie makes me want to grab your head and slam it into the table.
Did that come off?
You gonna show him a magic trick?
Did that come off as an actual defense of this movie?
I hear the sarcasm dripping, but the words it's dripping from still makes you sound like a fucking collaborator, and I can't abide that shit. Now, I recognize that perhaps I have a little bit extra rage about this movie that I'm trying to hold in, but you're making it difficult. You're making it damn difficult. But
it's going to get personal in a minute.
But RoboCop was there, and he
and
was
I'm not cleaning
him.
Up blood. I just want you to know that.
Hold on.
And
they felt they were safe because there weren't stairs nearby.
No. The only way to make it safe is if Ed-209 was there. Please drop your weapon. You have 15 seconds to comply.
I don't have a weapon.
He's like, well, tough titties, and you get shot with big fucking Paul Verhoeven bullets. They're like the size of your skull, right in your chest. So anywho, you would think maybe somebody, you know, we'd have some security protocols where we'd be, you know, a little extra vigilant.
But that didn't happen, Patrick.
Or when the shit hits the fan and somebody sneaks up, because maybe they're all, oh, well, personal freedoms, and we don't check manifests and flight plans and bullshit, then maybe when the fighting starts, somebody would say, hey, guess what? I have a transporter here. Let me either transport that ship away, put it in the buffer, deactivate some. I don't have to take a lot. All I got to do is take away the carburetor. All I got to do is beam out the carburetor. Fucking thing will fall out the sky. All right?
Yes.
Or if it's like, oh, hey, there's a transport inhibitor on it. Really? Why don't I just beam this car on top of that motherfucker? Right. Is it designed to handle an extra 2 tons? Maybe yes. Maybe no.
It'll probably interrupt the attack.
It's worth trying, I think.
I'm just going to say this, and I will subsequently call this. This is what I'm dubbing this. The J.J. Abrams defense, and it breaks down to 3 words. Dude, come on. Come on, dude. Dude, come on.
Yeah.
They have. Okay, look. They have starships in orbit, and I have seen ships shoot from orbit to the surface and blow shit up. So, hey, Enterprise, Pike's getting shot at. You wanna support us here? What is Uhura doing? She's just sitting there doing her fucking nails? Why is nobody watching screens? Why is nobody doing the fucking job? Huh?
Especially at an emergency meeting with all of the leadership. You would think there would be some counter
something
force
something
involved.
Like an asshole with a phaser on the roof who's just, they had it in fucking 28 weeks
how
later.
About a dude
they
with
had
a walkie-talkie.
Like, they had like 8 dudes up there with cyber rifles.
He's got a walkie-talkie. Bad stuff is happening. Send help.
It wasn't even like it was like a quick attack. Like, you know, he sniped the guy and then flew away.
No.
That was like a 3-minute fight sequence.
That's right. Which precipitated by the ship coming in, getting into position and flooding that room with red light.
Oh yeah, and
the bad shit's about to go down. Light has come on.
And this wasn't at some secret clandestine facility off in the woods someplace.
Nope.
You know this Starfleet fucking headquarters. Oh god, it hurts.
It's
it
all right.
Hurts. It really hurts.
Just breathe.
I can't.
So in that scene, Pike dies.
In front of RoboCop.
Spock
like a
helps
bitch,
him,
by the way.
Pass out
yeah.
peacefully.
Didn't he mind fuck him a little bit, though?
He did.
Yeah.
You feel me mind fucking you right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm mind fucking the shit out of you, son.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
I want to be here while I watch you die, bitch. Yeah.
How's that? Nobody yeah. Oh, your pain is delicious.
Yeah. Your tears are so yummy, Pike. Yummy, you guys.
He must have thought that Pike was Deanna Troi, usual victim of psychic trauma.
You know and, what? I never liked you, Pike. I want to watch your ass walk into the light. Walk in there, bitch. Yes.
Walk your ass up in that light. You know what you did.
I hope it's like Ghost. I hope the little black shadows come and drag your ass to hell, because I've always hated you, Pike. Anyway.
But Kirk takes out the ship with a couple of small arms fire bursts to the engine intake, this very similar looking engine intake, which apparently he didn't have a volcano or a cold fusion bomb nearby. Because that would have taken it out just as well.
Yeah.
Cold fusion bomb solves everything.
It solves everything.
Why was Kirk the only one shooting at the fucking thing? I mean,
well,
there's got to be somebody else with a gun in the...
No, it's Starfleet headquarters. Because there are nobody with guns there.
The one of the key elements here is Starfleet is not militaristic and is going to become militaristic, right? That's one of the big messages in this movie, and I can support that later.
Well, that is actually one of the messages of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. There's plenty of evidence of that.
No, you know what it was? It was because when they said, oh, no, the senior leadership is being attacked, security to the briefing room, and they did what Worf did later on. He just walked. He just was like, all right, come on, boys. And they just pipped their ass through the building. They don't run. They don't hustle. They just, I'm walking. Yeah, no, no. Trouble will still be there when Worf gets there. Shit, yeah. So that's what security was doing. They're like, we'll get there when we get there. You know, you don't exert yourself beforehand.
Nobody in Starfleet runs.
Yeah.
It's code 3, huh?
Yeah.
All right, I'll put that right next to my email.
Hang on. I almost got level 16 in Angry Birds. Hang on. Pull it. Motherfucking pigs.
How many Candy Crush invites do you have? Because I got like 17.
All right.
I'm killing it in dots.
2 minutes. I gotta harvest my turnips in Farmville. But in 2 minutes, I'll be there. All right.
That bitch said what? Yeah. Oh, hold on. Let me respond to this Facebook message.
So, at the conclusion of that scene, Harrison has escaped.
Yes.
And
there you go.
Harrison is said to be one of their top agents. Okay.
Top men.
He's one of our. We have our top men on it.
Yeah.
And Harrison is one of them. Has used this amazing point-to-point teleporting system.
Yeah. Which is amazing.
To escape to Kronos.
Yes.
An abandoned area of Kronos.
Uh-huh. Pinpoint. He didn't just teleport to a different planet. He pinpointed.
Well,
hang on, guys.
Now, you got to remember, this technology was developed in the first movie by our, engineer, Mr. Scott.
Yes.
And he used it to transport onto a ship traveling at warp speed. So to say, he went to a pinpoint location, I don't think that's crazy. I think the fact that there's a transporter that can beam you several star systems away.
Yeah, that was my thing.
I think that is some bullshit.
Here's the thing. My beef, not that I'm, defending, the transport thing, the teleport thing in the first one, but even if you wanted to use that as the, evidence that you could do this, that was much closer than teleporting to Kronos.
Okay.
I mean, if you could do that, why the fuck do we have starships?
That's where my beef lies.
That's where my beef has always been.
They have brought this back, this undoing of the necessity for Starfleet at all, and all of their starship technology. If you can just beam motherfuckers from one place to another, you don't need starships.
You really don't. Yep. In any way, shape, or form.
I just want to point out that from the first movie, when they did that, I brought this up, saying, well, I like how they just wrote in a way to invalidate the whole need for starships in the first place. Why?
Especially when it's a little portable device.
Exactly.
It would fit in your refrigerator.
Exactly. He put
fucking asshole.
Put the shit on his back like it was...
He had it in a duffel bag in a car.
Yes.
And that's what you remember? The
duffel
3D
bag,
camera
yes.
thing?
Yes.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, I can't talk at the meeting. I'm busy looking at Cumberbatch manipulate his bag with his confident Iron Man face. Yeah. Yep, just pulling my bag out. Time to escape from all the tragedy and explosions. We good.
Yes. Oh, fucking asshole.
Anyway, Harrison was a top agent.
Top man.
Okay.
I think that was a sly effort to bring in their fourth crossover, which was Indiana Jones. Top man. Did you notice that the character was called Harrison? Don't think that was an accident.
Yes.
Well, so, Harrison.
So far, we've got Doctor Who, Lord of the Rings, RoboCop, and a slight wink to Indiana Jones. Keep that in mind, because there's a fifth one coming up right in the scene that we're about to talk about.
So, it's revealed to us that London wasn't just an archive of data. It was actually Section 31. And we're also told that this point-to-point transfer system was used to take him to Kronos. Mm-hmm. And they've developed a new torpedo that is long range and untraceable. Long range, untraceable. It's a fire and forget.
I was going to say,
fuck you sandwich.
Real quick, isn't long range and untraceable an oxymoron? Isn't that?
Well, when you look at the things, it's written all over it. Hey, this came from Starfleet. This is its serial number. Fuck you.
Well, I think the whole point of it is to explode and to vaporize all that. Because those torpedoes, you know, they use a matter-antimatter reaction. So pretty much everything gets vaporized there for the torpedo.
One would hope.
Yeah.
Also, they are exceptionally large torpedoes, considering. Same. There's a discussion, a message is delivered right about this point in the movie where he's criticized for being sent to kill this guy.
Who's he?
Kirk is being dispatched to go kill this guy. And it's going to be a death without a trial. And that's mentioned as a concern. Well, there's no protocol for this. Spock raises this concern, of course.
Well, this is after Kirk goes to the Admiral RoboCop, and says,
damn right,
I want to go get this fucker. I know I done fucked up with the Prime Directive, but that, you know, those were natives. That doesn't matter. But put me in
those
charge.
Those were brown people. Who
yeah,
cares?
Exactly. Well, were they brown or were they brown with white paint on them? It doesn't matter. Whatever.
They're still brown. And
savages.
You know they're brown.
So Kirk is like, hey, I'm out for blood because, you know, Pike was good to me even though I treated him like shit. And didn't listen to him and called him an asshole by doing all that shit that I did that he didn't want me to do. But
basically his father.
But now that I am once again captain of the Enterprise, because, you know, it would be foolish, you know, since I just got busted down for being a shit captain.
Literally 5 minutes ago.
5 minutes ago.
I appreciate what you're saying. But he is Kirk. And it's not like they have a whole academy of other pilots a fleet of seasoned captains which could captain that.
Well, no. The point, I mean, all of that is relevant. I'm just pointing out that it's not that the Admiral ordered Kirk to go do this. Kirk volunteered for this. He's like, let's make this shit happen. And then the Admiral say, well, if you want to kill him, we got these super special torpedoes that you can use to go kill his ass. And Kirk's like, sweet, let's do this shit. Let's get it done. And I think that's dovetailing into what's going to happen, like the next scene right after this. So I'll let you continue taking us on this merry-go-ride raid.
They get aboard the Enterprise, and, you know, Sulu pops his head and says, we're good to go, Captain. We're green light, tails up, face in the wind. We're happy. Go time.
When that was this before or after a certain person was removed?
No.
So
he's getting to that.
Right at that moment, our chief engineer is like,
Mr. Montgomery Scott.
You're like, I can't sign for these torpedoes. You can't tell me what's in them because it's classified. I mean, we got this giant reactor here. I don't know if you noticed. We got it because here it is. I'm in charge of it, and you want to bring these in here and have me sign for them. Not today. Ain't doing it. And Kirk is like, well, it's ultimatum time. Either you sign for them or you hit the bricks. He's like, well, fine. I'm going to go then. You going to accept my resignation? And he says yes. So he and his little...
Bullshit warning.
He and his little clam face buddy... they're fuck buddies, let's be honest.
Oh.
Because he doesn't talk.
It's been pretty much established that he is fucking that little guy.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Okay. So.
You know, he is at perfect oral sex height. I just want to point that out.
You know.
He don't need a chair, a stepladder, or nothing.
I'm not offended.
Just, you know.
I just don't want to see it.
Sometimes running that engine is a little stressful. And he's like, hey, get over here, you little shit.
As long as it's consensual, I don't really care.
What we don't know is that sperm is really the lifeblood of that species. So
it's
if they don't
symbiotic
get any,
relationship.
It really is. Yeah. Without that, those constant infusions of jism, he would just die.
Which is unfortunate because I find it distasteful.
Let's just say you don't want to go through engineering with the black light and leave it at that.
Let's leave it at that. Let's just
Sci-fi
leave that right there.
Eat. I think we just titled this episode.
So then we get introduced to the drama between Uhura and Spock.
Oh, no, wait. Before that, did you skip Mr. Anton Yeltsin
so
there?
He gets, we have to pick a new chief engineer. Yes,
our chief engineer is gone. So our captain decides that this little high school dropout that's been on the bridge, fuck it. We'll make him chief engineer because I'm sure there's nobody else that's ever worked in engineering on board this ship that has, you know, seniority or, you know, more practical experience.
How about the guy who works under fucking Scott?
Yeah.
Well, apparently that was his little fuck buddy. And he left too.
Those were the only engineers on the entire ship.
The entire engineering section of the flagship.
Was two dudes. Well, one dude and like a half dude
what
that
about
lives off of
Patrick.
Sperm.
What about the
Patrick.
Guys that designed the ship?
Patrick. Dude. Come on. Dude. Come on.
JJ?
Oh, I'm sorry, JJ. Silly B, I'm bringing logic
get an
to, this,
ass whooping.
To this movie.
I'm going to show you a bad robot. All right?
Dude. Come on.
Because for some reason, they think, well, more important than having a plausible storyline, we're just going to keep the main characters in the forefront.
Well,
nobody else exists
right.
on this ship.
That's right.
Except for the main characters.
It's been modified to run on a reduced crew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. apparently, a crew of like seven with like, you know, three or four just random assholes walking around in the background.
I saw an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation where apparently the entire universe was just Beverly Crusher sitting on the bridge of the fucking Enterprise. So... That seems right to me.
But you know what?
Just in terms,
I love the line that she says, computer, how is one person supposed to be able to run this entire thing? And the computer goes, no. Insufficient data. She's like, ha-ha, I got you, bitch.
I believe she actually said, got you, bitch.
And why not? She's the only one that exists in her universe. She's not going to get disciplinary action for talking shit to the computer.
The Enterprise is large enough that just in terms of shit like changing light bulbs and keeping it dusted, it's more than one person can do. Your whole life would be consumed every single day with just changing light bulbs and cleaning air filters.
Too many light bulbs around this bitch.
For all this lens flare shit, there's like 18 light bulbs in this panel right here.
So,
bright as fuck.
We get to see the Admiral's daughter, who is a weapons expert. Weapons expert.
Is that with her clothes on or off?
This is still with.
Okay.
She's still doing the with clothes portion of the show. And,
hopefully that doesn't last too long, right?
Because
Chekhov, I can't have.
Well, you know, you won't have to wait. A whole maybe 10 minutes.
I'm just going
to
say this right now. Given the meticulous detail in which we are bitching about this movie, we really should have done an audio commentary.
Well, yeah, I was kind of thinking that, but I wasn't going to bring it up and just highlight our failure in front of all of the,
ten
listeners.
No, it's still possible because Brian is not here. So the audio commentary option is still available because you know Brian has got all kinds of comments that he's being denied. So we can continue doing what we're doing. I just wanted to point out.
Yes.
At this level of detail, we could have just done a fucking commentary.
I concur with that assessment. So all I'm saying is there's a hot woman on this ship.
Yes.
And I want to see her with her clothes off. That's all I'm saying. Now, look,
and apparently JJ agrees.
Yeah, I mean, you could be a weapons expert. You know, you could have all these degrees and shit. But show me your tits, bitch. That's all I'm saying. And I'm glad that
it works
JJ
with the same philosophy of James Bond.
Yes.
And I would just like to point out that in our enlightened future of Star Trek, yes, we can still objectify women like that. And, you know, I'm glad that JJ brought that to the franchise, because I think that was sorely lacking in the first one.
That was what Gene Roddenberry was really going for.
It really was.
That's what the real dream of Gene Roddenberry was, this is the future and everybody's free. Show me them titties, bitch.
It's equality for all. I think that there should have been parody there.
Yeah.
Everyone wanted to see, excuse me, there's a significant portion of the population that wanted to see Benedict Cumberbatch. You know, get into a shirtless wrestling match with Kirk.
I think Steve just telegraphed his own desires. And you know what? That's cool. That's cool. I accept you for who you are, Steve.
That doesn't sound that way. It sounds like you're being judgmental right now.
No, I'm being as judgmental as you are about the little sperm drinker. So, you know.
Wait, what?
That Scotty uses.
We're going to let that go. So we get Sad Spot.
Oh, we forget about it now. You run the shit back. It was 10 minutes. Never mind.
Oh. By the way, that was another crossover that I totally missed. Ice Pirates. that was an Ice Pirates crossover.
it was so awesome. Oh, fuck. I mean, look, there's a lot of talking and some feelings in this section here. Why don't we just jump straight ahead to Kronos? Well, can we do that?
Okay. So we get Sad Spock and they're fighting on the ship, and then we get a first-person shooter school with Harrison.
Yeah, Harrison.
Whooping all kinds of ass on these Klingons.
Wait, hold up. Now, I want to point out what these Klingons look like, because these Klingons got out of the ship, and they look like, for reasons that I don't quite understand, now they look like pirates, which to me was, of course, another crossover.
Yeah.
Pirates of the Caribbean. But no, seriously, when they got off of the ship, like, I'm not saying that they didn't look cool. They did look cool. I just had a problem with why the fuck would they look like that? Why do the Klingons look different than they did before? Now, if you're just doing a reboot with no supposed explanation and you just wanted to change the look of the Klingons, that's fine. But that's not what you did. What you did was you gave me a reboot that had an explanation for why things were different, and that doesn't cover Klingons looking completely different than the way they did before.
Well, okay. I'm going to jump in here, and I'm going to be Brian for a second. And I'm going to say that if you actually look at what the Klingons looked like in the previous timeline, they didn't get standardized until, like, Next Generation, right? Mm,
fair.
So you go to, you know, Star Trek III, Star Trek IV, like the bone ridges, the shape of the thing, it's all different. So there's sort of infinite variation there. So these guys, like, it didn't so much bother me that they're bone ridges were different. I mean, you know, they
it really was
or had metal rings in them.
Well, yeah, my thing wasn't the bone ridges. It was the metal rings and the fact that they looked like pirate Klingons.
Yeah,
I was like, well, I have never seen a Klingon that was dressed like this, that acted
like stormtroopers out of Fallout 3.
Dude, honestly, Jack Sparrow walked out of that Klingon ship, that wouldn't have even been that off-putting. That would have been, well, that makes sense given the way everyone else looks.
So Kirk slaps Harrison around. He says, Captain. Ooh. And then we learn about 23-17-46-11. Right? All right. And he calls up Scotty and says, hey, go check out 23-17-46-11.
I know. I said we should skip ahead, but there is one big thing that, you know, as the as someone who moderately gives a shit about women in Star Trek, why is it that
four wives?
again, we have, you know, a more prominent Uhura, but her prominence is nagging her fucking boyfriend to the point that the captain says, do I need to not take both of you on this mission? Is there going to be a problem? when your boss has to ask you if you can be professional,
when Kurt has to ask you if you can be professional, I think that says something.
I'm like, I'm like, seriously, is this all we could think of to do with Uhura?
This was the angry girlfriend stereotype.
She has to be the angry girlfriend stereotype, which incidentally, I still don't buy that works. Like before, it was kind of in secret. Like they're okay in the turbo lift, we'll just do it. Now it's like the running gag of the ship.
Yes,
that they are boyfriend and girlfriend, and they are having relationship troubles, and she's nagging him when he is her direct superior. That shit don't work. It doesn't. Not in a tightly controlled bureaucracy
where the superior is one that is a stickler for the rules.
Yes. That whole
plot point was kind of dropped.
And if someone says, oh, hey, well, you know, Riker and Troy got together on the Enterprise. Here's the thing. Riker was not her direct superior. They were both reporting to the captain, right?
Right.
So they're now granted he's, you know, second in command of the ship, but you know, and Data is third in command, and even though he doesn't outrank her, he outranks her when it comes to what the ship's doing, because he's the XO. It's a whole lot of military thing. The point is, there it works. Here it makes no fucking sense, especially with Mr. No Emotions, Mr. Stickler for the Rules, Mr.
Right. So also in this same time frame of the movie.
Yes.
The Enterprise is sabotaged.
You just hate love.
people will say that. I don't hate love. I have no problem with love. John Crichton and Aaron Soon, I was rooting for those motherfuckers. I was rooting for them. Why? Because it was appropriate. And because it had the right amount of distance. It's not like he showed up from some distant planet and she's like, impregnate me. No.
That was a completely different movie.
It was.
That was Big John of Mars.
I think that was Longscape. Anyway, it's not that I hate love. It's that I still want better for Uhura. It would be better off if she just sat there in the corner with that thing in her ear than to make her the horrific stereotype.
Why is that fucking thing so enormous sticking out of her ear?
Science. What? She's talking through space.
Because
that damn thing is about as big as a whole communicator.
Because they have to be sure that she's working. And if it was small, if it was tiny and you put it in your ear,
I was going to take that in the whole direction that even I'm like, dude, I don't think you should go there. I think you should leave that alone.
It had to be uncomfortable. That's all I'm saying.
You know how you have that thing when you're at work, you're supposed to be working, and so you got to type on the keyboard? Uh-huh. That's her equivalent of typing on the keyboard. Because all she's doing is just listening to... She's listening to the radio. She's eavesdropping on the radio. That's her fucking job. And if it was small, they'd be like, wait a second, is that Pandora? Because... I don't fucking know. She's like, no, do you see
maybe
this giant
she's listening
thing?
To the podcast.
It does not get Pandora. It does get the Cyberdelic podcast.
Well, naturally.
Because, you know, being out here in space, it just caught up to us.
That's a YouTube thing.
Not that we have like a radio broadcast or something, but if we did, she could listen to it in real time and go, yeah, why the fuck do I have this giant fucking thing in my ear? And just take it out and walk off the bridge. Anyway.
Seems reasonable to me.
Anyway, sorry, right, I interrupted. So numbers with the Cumberbund.
Right, and the ship gets sabotaged and they lose warp. And so then it's determined that it's time for our weapons expert to do her weapons expert-y thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Titties. And then we get Scotty comes across the USS Vengeance and... Holy shit. I didn't actually say that, though.
I actually just want to point out that the name of the ship is the USS Vengeance.
Right. There's no message here being delivered.
I would also like to point out that it is the bigger, blacker Enterprise.
Yeah.
It is exactly the same as the Enterprise, except it's not. It's got more aggressive lines, and it's big and black. Like, really big.
There's no subtext.
And really black.
Nah.
Yes. It's like, do you think this is the evil ship? How could it not be? Look at how big and black that is.
Well, what we're even shown.
Good ship lollipop. That's the damn ship.
Like two ships. We're shown that side shot of the two ships facing each other. And it's basically who's got the bigger dick.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what's going on there.
Yeah.
And then.
Obviously, it's RoboCop.
Yeah. Well. And then we get the daddy issues.
Dead or Alive, you're coming with me.
And Kirk challenges him and says, well, if you're not here to rescue this ship in distress, yada, 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 I'ma have to kill you. Right?
Yeah,
right, right, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the daddy issue, you can't kill everybody because I'm your beloved daughter and I'm on this ship. And he says, well, I'ma teleport your ass. And he teleports her ass. Transports her ass.
Don't really see how she did. No one saw that coming.
Well, obviously their shields went down and no one was paying attention. Maybe it's because Chekhov's ass is downstairs doing engineering shit and they didn't have anybody else come up and say, hey, Captain, we are all fucked up right here.
Were your shields actually up? I will say that's a decent point that you could make. That was another Federation ship
because he fired on him.
Yes, that's why they dropped out of warp. They were being fired on.
Oh,
So he knew. That's why they left, because he knew that some shit was coming. He had a feeling like, wait a second. Oh, yeah, didn't Cumberbatch tell him that? It's like, hey.
That's right. That's where the numbers come in.
Right.
The lost numbers?
The lost, well.
No. Push the button, Max.
Thankfully not. So then the ship is adrift, and they cannot fire, and they cannot flee, and our medical doctor makes a discovery about a tribble.
Fucking
and
assholes.
So they're going to go inside the other ship, the Vengeance, and we get the scene where Spock has to, oh, Captain, this is a bad idea once again, and Spock and Cumberbatch.
Have we figured out who Harrison is?
We're now aware that Harrison is Khan.
So this was the part where this movie crossed over with Star Trek.
Right.
Like actual Star Trek.
It became a Star Trek themed movie.
Well,
again.
Okay. I would call it a crossover. Like it came in, took a shit, and then flew back out. So,
right. Well, it crossed over with Star Trek because that's when Spock, Leonard Nimoy, shows up. So that's when Star Trek crossed over with Star Trek.
Yes.
They illuminated the Star Trek sign in the cabin for the first class seating.
Yes.
So Spock pulled the trigger, happens.
I also like how when Cumberbatch Harrison reveals who he is.
Yes.
That is there only as a nod to the Star Trek fans, because he says, my name is Khan. And they're like, am I supposed to know who the fuck that is?
If you don't watch Star Trek, your reaction to that is, why the fuck did he say it that way?
Yeah, it's like, and who is that?
That's do you say it that way every time?
Yeah.
How was that? How many A's are in that? That sounds like
it's actually an H in there. There's an H.
It's 11 A's and an H. I really hate when people spell it with only 10 A's. It's like they're slapping my mom in the face.
Really? It's really culturally insensitive.
Yes. So when he does
that, don't forget the apostrophe.
That's when you lean over to your friend that actually watched Star Trek and convinced you to come to this movie, and you go, am I supposed to know who that is? So,
exactly. That's
when you look over at your geek friend and you expect him to say something similar to the lines of when he told you that was Thanos to explain what was going on there. You gonna explain
who
this
is
shit?
Thanos?
What? That's exactly what I was like. Who is that guy? That's the same thing they did with who? Who's Khan? Like as from Star Trek 2. No, it doesn't
Jungle
matter.
Book? It was no it, dumbass.
You had that same moment like you had in theaters across the world when fucking Avengers ended. You had the silent theater, and then you just hear one guy go Thanos, and then like with this movie, you know, you had the silent theater, and then you just had one guy go Star Trek 2.
Everybody that's there goes, I don't know what that is. I haven't seen that movie. I don't give a shit about Star Trek. That's why I'm here.
Exactly. Dude,
so,
come on.
As
dude.
You said, Spock shows, Mr. Official Nimoy Spock shows
Spock
up.
Spock Prime
shows up. And he says, Khan, Noonien, Singh should not be trusted. And he says, how did you beat him?
when he says, I'm from the future, so I'm not going to tell you anything about the past because that would be breaking the temporal prime directive. That being said, let me break the temporal prime directive
exactly.
And tell you what you should do.
Yeah.
Well, shoot him in the face.
Well, wait.
Right directly in the face.
It's, you know, that would be breaking the temporal prime directive. But I just read the report of what you fuckers did on that savage planet. So obviously we don't give a shit about that anymore.
The prime suggestion.
Exactly.
Spock Prime is breaking the prime directive.
When you're evaluating your options, the prime suggestion has recommended in parentheses next to it.
I'm going to point out something. Instead of perhaps, or even in addition to, when he called Spock, maybe, just maybe, they could have called somebody else to keep them from being
sitting. Who, Ghostbusters?
Somebody. It's like, hey, we're at the moon. I'm sure there has to be some space-worthy vessel. If you could come pick us up.
That'd be handy.
Because
we're on the edge of the Klingon space.
I was actually you know who they should have called, given I'm a work within continuity of the story. You know who they should have called? Klingons.
Klingons showing up would have solved
that whole fucking problem.
No.
Hey, we notice you have a large vessel here, a giant warship.
No, hang on. Quonos is nowhere near close enough. They were just, in this new J.J. Abrams Trek, warp goes really, really fast when the plot needs it to. So they were in.
Boy, that is
because,
the truth.
Because they came out of warp at the moon. And now Quonos is nowhere near to Earth. This is not like, hey, I'm just going to call somebody up. No. That's a subspace transmission.
Okay.
Along the same lines, Scotty gets back aboard the Enterprise when shit's hitting the fan in full effect. And he says, I was gone for one day.
Yes.
All right.
And look what happened to the ship. So, all of that shit happened in one day?
Uh-huh.
Based on what I know from watching Star Trek and then watching this movie, I got the impression spatially that Kronos was a moon of Jupiter. Was I wrong?
You might have missed some of the elements there.
Was I wrong?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. They went, they traveled 16 light years in like 4 minutes.
Okay.
They were running from the Vengeance for like, a minute. They had been running before that. Whatever. It's not even worth paying attention to because... Whoa. The guy that wrote the script doesn't know how the fucking thing works.
True enough.
He just knows you get in it.
I have just the example to give that.
Please.
So, Scotty gets it back aboard the ship, and he's like, we cannot get back to warp. Right?
Right.
Because what's wrong now is the warp core is out of alignment. And Kirk decides, what I'm going to do... is crawl around inside it,
and
kick the mother loving crap out of it with my foot.
You know where he got
and that will align the warp core.
You know where he got that idea from, right? He saw it in a movie once. That movie,
The Karate
Star
Kid?
Trek 2.
Wow.
When I was watching the movie, when Spock did this very same thing, he went in there and he did some delicate work with the suit on and you came in there and treated it like it was a broken CRT television and just started kicking the shit out of it.
Might as well have been a diesel generator the way he was treating it.
Yeah.
Well.
It was a broken lawnmower
is what
he was doing.
I just needed to double check. Yeah. So, let's align this warp core. Now, in the future, with the Enterprise D, I do distinctly recall Geordi talking about, we're trying to align the injectors to within like microns tolerance. But he was just wasting his fucking time because if you kick it hard enough,
yeah,
it just auto aligns itself.
I was thinking?
Didn't kick it hard enough.
Maybe you guys need DRDs or robotic arms or.
We tried exocomps, but
you
they
were engineer
sentient.
The fucking thing
so
that
you
it
know.
Would align itself automatically. I mean, you can beam motherfuckers from one place to another, and you can't get these two things
moon
to go.
Moon of Jupiter.
Boop. Yeah.
It wasn't that far.
Yeah.
It's moon
bullshit.
Of Jupiter.
So now here's the part where I have to jump in. This is what I had to double check, because I want to be accurate with this. So,
I want to be accurate about my bitching.
No,
go ahead.
Yes. No, I do. So they're at the moon. Like, it's very obvious. There's the big fucking moon, and then there's Earth. It's sitting there.
There
right?
it is.
By this point, Kirk and Cumberbatch, Khan with an H, have gotten onto the ship. They've done their thing, and now there's an explosion on the USS Vengeance, right?
That's right.
And
he goes, get me a cryo tube.
Yeah.
And he pulls all, we don't know this, but he pulls out all of the 72 crew members
in the cryo tubes and sends
over the torpedoes.
That was one thing that we didn't cover because I thought that was like the final like crossover movie that we haven't mentioned yet that the torpedoes were made out of people. It was a Soylent Green.
Yes. So you know, Khan's like, all right, beam over my people, and Spock says, we'll beam over something in a torpedo casing. Torpedoes, bitch, and beams them over, blows them all up. There's a giant explosion on the Vengeance, and it pushes the Enterprise away. That's how big this explosion was.
Right.
Doesn't vaporize the Vengeance. Doesn't vaporize the Enterprise.
Uh-uh.
It just pushes them away. Now, we're at the moon, right?
Yeah.
I could see the Earth over there, right?
It's so, over there, yeah.
So we are further than the moon.
True enough.
Which is like 300,000 kilometers away from the planet Earth.
So that's not next door?
No. 300,000 kilometers.
Like what you're saying
10
is
minutes ride?
We couldn't teleport to that.
And so, you can. If you were in a spaceship that was, well, shit, you can teleport to Kronos, you can teleport to the fucking moon.
Well, but that's what I'm saying, because Kronos is closer than the moon.
Holy shit. Actually, that's a good point. I'll get to that shit in a second. But my main point is 300,000 kilometers.
So you're taking
explosion.
You're taking some beef. With
knocks,
the ship adrift.
I'm taking some beef with the fact that the explosion was powerful enough to blow the Enterprise onto the Earth in like 84 seconds. It took 84 seconds.
It took like a minute.
No, the Enterprise. The Vengeance comes in later.
Oh, okay.
The Vengeance shows up
right.
You know.
So
the fact that this explosion was able to propel the Enterprise at some appreciable fraction of the speed of light, one, without destroying the ship, and two, don't get me started on that whole the ship is spinning and everybody's like, gravity's pulling. You're all in fucking free fall, you sacks of shit. In physics.
Yeah, but
anyway,
the ship leaned
Patrick,
over. That means gravity is different now, Patrick.
Don't come on me now, JJ.
Dude,
don't come on me. Dude. Actually, that...
I'm going to have to see if we can isolate that.
Actually, you know what? That is appropriate. That is what JJ did to all the fans.
Oh, skeet, bad robot.
He just jizzed on all of our faces and said, sit there and let it drip off your nose. Dude,
and consequently,
like
women dried up all over the place.
Just as a simple fact, you could show that to anybody who took any measure of high school physics, and they can say, "Hey, JJ, that's not how that shit would work. You know that, right? I mean, I don't even know anything about
antimatter
physics.
With?
Hey, man,
dude,
it's a movie.
Come on,
I made a whole fuckload of money.
All right, look.
Yeah, but I did, though.
Actually, what he's going to say is, fuck you, man. I'm making Star Wars.
I know. See, here's the thing.
I'm going to shit all over Star Wars, and you're going to lap it up. You know why? Because I own you.
I went to see this movie because of the podcast, right? And I knew we were going to talk about it.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, let me go watch the fucking thing so I can, you know, not sit here quietly while they discuss it, but I can rip at the asshole that it needs. And so I go early, right, on a Sunday morning. I sit in the way, way back of the theater because I know.
Did you buy a beverage?
I did. But I know that I'm going to have issues with this movie, so I don't want to interrupt anybody else's movie-going experience.
Trying to isolate yourself.
So I'm trying to isolate. I was like, okay, I'm going to go early when the theater will be mostly empty. I'll sit in the back so I won't be in front of anybody. And that was good because I was gesticulating and just trying not to scream at the screen when several things happened.
Did you give the movie the finger?
No. I didn't give it the finger, but I was like clenching my fists and like,
yeah.
Fucking the thing.
Yeah.
And I did that. And that little sequence at the end, that was the one where I was like, not to say that there weren't other sequences, like, you know, the whole rest of the movie.
All right.
But this one right here really pissed me off.
This one right here.
But
this
visually,
one right here. That one here.
Yes. That one there.
Visually, it's a pretty movie.
Oh, no. It's pretty. It's pretty.
Damn pretty.
Yeah. Wait. Okay.
And the scene where they get those thrusters on and it rises out of the clouds with the music.
It did look cool.
They did that on purpose, right?
Do you have any idea how much thrust you would need to stop the descent
we're talking about like red goo on the inside of that plane.
Exactly. Exactly.
No. Well, for me, the moment for me, I was already barely in to begin with, but the moment for me where I remember, because I did ruin somebody's movie-going experience when this happened, I remember distinctly having to apologize to the woman sitting next to me, who I did not know, was when Spock screamed out, Khan! I started laughing so ridiculously hard at the just sheer preposterousness of that fucking scene. I couldn't contain it. That when I was done laughing a good 10 minutes later, I had to look at the woman next to me and go, I am so sorry. Because I know that interrupted your movie-going experience. It couldn't have been helped.
So that's where we're at, though, is where Spock discovers, oh, James T. Kirk, I actually have a feeling for you.
I have a guy boner for you. Wait, that's a normal boner.
Yeah. And then we get the Star Trek 9/11. Yes. Where the Vengeance smashes into San Francisco
Bay, yeah.
And then we actually get our Get Me the Cryo Tube. And
I will now refer
he
to
says,
that as the Star Trek 9/11.
Yes. It was. And then.
It functionally was.
It was. And then we discover that we need Khan alive. He says, you can't kill Khan. We need him alive. And I thought to myself, fucking why? You've got 17 other ones.
You've got 70 other ones. By the way, did we ever explain why we were putting them in the torpedoes?
It was a way to
get rid of them.
To hide them so that Kirk would shoot them at Kronos. They would do no fucking good. I mean, they would go off and kill all of the people inside. And hopefully that would kill Khan as well, and, you know, wrap it all up in a big bow. The war gets started. The Klingons show up, blow the fuck out of the disabled Enterprise.
Oh, so RoboCop was just planning.
Yes.
Yeah, he had a shit ton of plans.
He
had plans within plans.
This was one big, giant Dr. Evil fuck-up plan to kill our hero.
And, you know, we're scolded for revenge. You know, 9/11 occurs in San Francisco, and then we're scolded for revenge. And we get the message about killing, you know, even though there's no trial, we get all of that rolled into this movie.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know if you saw it, but at the very end of the credits, I mean, all the way past the Sony dynamic sound and the no animals were harmed, all the way at the end of that, is this film is dedicated to our post 9/11 veterans with gratitude for their inspired service abroad and continued leadership at home. What?
Wow, okay.
Okay. Wow, this movie just went from, to, all right, that's kind of disrespectful.
Yeah. Well, that explains some of why they put some silly subtext in it to try to make it about something.
Well, I don't have a problem with the subtext. I have a problem with the subtext in this movie. Like, I think you could have made a well-done... Star Trek Next Generation did it all the time. You could have done a well-done plot that did actually touch on these topics.
Sure.
That would have been fine.
Yeah.
But you made a silly movie where you wanted to touch on these topics. You can't start the movie off with a cold fusion bomb that makes things cold and then touch on 9/11. You really can't do that.
No. It doesn't
come off as poignant,
and it doesn't come off as, you know, effective messaging.
Pick the movie you want to make. That's basically
right.
What I'm saying.
Yeah. Wow. You know what? I didn't even. I'm not a big symbolism guy. I didn't pick up on any of these things. I was just so thrown aback. I was so taken aback by
still pissed off
all the science
by the moon by the whole
non-science.
No, not even that. I was pissed off by the prime directive talk. We're like, you're doing the prime directive, but I am also going to disobey the prime directive. But I'm better than you because I ain't got no emotions and I don't. Oh, Uhura, I don't love you enough to not die here. Ha ha.
I definitely think a theme of this movie was shitting on the prime directive. I really think. I mean, fuck, both Spocks did it. Both Spocks.
It's about
Let's
integrity.
Just be clear here.
Yeah.
Both fucking Spocks just
integrity
shit all over the prime directive.
You think new Spock, or sorry, original Spock, Spock Prime, sorry, you think he gives a fuck anymore?
He probably doesn't care.
What was it? Picard called it cowboy diplomacy.
You know what it is, though? Like, Spock Prime has got it made now, right? He's like, well, all I'm going to do is sit back, sip piñatas, and fuck bitches because I don't have no more fucking problems. All the people that were pissed at me, it's not like they can reach me now. What are they going to do, send an email to the past? I don't give a shit. Fuck
them. You know, he's going around telling people, you know, there's not that many Vulcans left. And you know what they say about Vulcans.
Well, we should get busy making some more Vulcans. That's all I would say.
I just want to point out.
I have a couple of interesting investments to make because I know some shit about some shit that's about to go down. You know what I'm saying?
I just want to point out a couple of things.
Vulcan sperm is good for 400 years. Just want to point that out.
I just want to point out one thing about this movie that really bothered me. I might have been okay with this movie as just a fun sci-fi-ish movie that just had no relation to Star Trek whatsoever, but a movie that clearly doesn't want to be Star Trek was doing everything in this point its favor to push you towards, oh, by the way, this is a Star Trek movie. Not only were they constantly referencing at some point they were just trying to remake Star Trek II, a far better Star Trek movie.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hey, I'm trying to just enjoy this as a silly sci-fi movie and just not connected to Star Trek. And you keep thrusting, oh, by the way, this is Star Trek. We're pissing all over. You keep reminding me of this fact.
It's a classic. We didn't have our own idea. We're just going to recycle an existing idea.
Yeah.
It's still that. Anyway.
Yeah, it is still that. Oh, my other thing, though, since they're by the moon, we have a base on the moon.
Yeah.
In this future. So why don't they just call up the fucking moon base and say, hey, would you mind beaming us the fuck out of here? Because we're only like, 10,000 kilometers away. If you wouldn't mind beaming everybody off,
that
would be...
They get someone in a bronze volcano suit with a flashlight trying to signal someone down with Morse code.
Well,
okay, wait.
Look,
here's what you're not understanding.
Spock.
You can't transport from that far away.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's not like you could... It's not like it was Kronos. That was the moon. That's much farther away.
I mean, even if they're, because I think they said some shit about their comms being fucked up, but they can talk to Spock Prime, right? And they're like, oh, hey, Spock Prime, before you leave, would you mind calling like the moon or Earth and sending somebody to come pick us up? Because our ship is all fucked up down here. And if you just do a brother solid, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
But no.
Get on Twitter.
Yeah.
Be like, hashtag ambush. Hashtag.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Hashtag con.
Here. Send me a selfie. Okay. And then I'm going to put this on Instagram.
You
go pick up my homie.
You send me a pic. I'll send you a pic.
Oh, my God.
And the other. Sorry. You can go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, and the other thing is, now that I feel sorry for all of the augments, because that's what they were supposed to be. They're the augments from the originals. I feel sorry for them because now that we know that their blood can cure anything, they are never getting their freedom. And basically what's going to happen to them is somebody's going to like stub their toe. They're going to defrost them. Like, hey, what's going on? They're going to get a shot in the arm, and then they're going to freeze their ass
again. Stabby stab, motherfucker.
Yeah. I actually thought of that was actually one of the first thoughts that I had while I was watching the movie. Besides, why do we need to save Khan? We've got 72 other of these motherfuckers frozen.
That's right.
Kill fucking Spawn. what I said Spawn, by the way. Kill fucking Khan. I actually thought about that. If this is actually true, if these people have blood that can cure death, these people are never, ever going to have anything resembling a normal life. Not that they ever were.
Wait
anywhere.
Till those Elysium fuckers find out about it.
Yeah.
They're gonna blend those people up into red goo.
What do you think that light
and have
is?
Yeah. Never ending.
What do you think that chamber
perpetual
was?
Health slurpees out of these people?
That is a laser diffracted through the blood of the augments. That's why I can cure every. That's why I can rebuild your face.
Well, and here's another question that I had. Oh no, actually, fuck it. No, don't worry about it.
Well.
Fuck it. I'm going to say it. I know this is a stupid complaint. I know this is a weird, stupid complaint. But really, and don't get me wrong, I like both actors. I like them a lot. So this is not me saying, oh, whatever, you got a stupid actor. But really, you go Ricardo Montalban to fucking, what's his first name? Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yeah. Yes.
Not even remotely a similarity.
I could justify it if they had gotten his shirt off. Because then there's some reason, right? There's some payoff. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying for me, but I know that there is a segment of that's right.
I'm if you're gonna show the weapons expert's tits,
that's right.
Why not show his tits? Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Alice Fair Eve. Play. Yeah, you know, if Alice Eve is in her drawers, then you know, put somebody. At least
he worked out for this movie.
No, he did.
Benedict Cumberbatch. He bulked up for this movie.
It's not a shirt off scene. Maybe it's just a butt in the moonlight kind of thing.
Look, all I'm saying,
Chris Pine,
you guys might not like Enterprise. Like, I like Enterprise, but the one thing I will say about Enterprise is that when they come up with a scene to get to Paul to take her clothes off, the guys are taking their clothes off too. It's like, all right, well, we got to strip down and rub this decontamination gel on your titties. Right. And she's like, well, all right, well, I got to rub it on your asshole because that's how this works. And everybody's in their underpants and they're all just rubbing up on each other.
And then the music starts.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it happens.
Speaking of the music, do you hear that? You know what that sounds to me, right? That means that if you want to get to our website, it's scifishow.net. And if you want to get us on Twitter, we're at scifishow. And we're on the Facebook at scifishow. All right, that's not how that works. It's facebook.com/scifishow. Anyway, thank you for downloading, listening, and subscribing. I can get all these words out. I know I can. Until next time, I'm Steve.
This is Patrick.
This is Michael. Don't worry, Brian. I think we still have more than enough content for an audio commentary.